But as a coach, I was looking for the opportunity to connect with athletes. So I found that if I do a warm up together, or if I do a strength conditioning, sometimes together, so we can show a different side of your sort of expression, I'd say. It's like just the coach is standing, just watching your training, or your coach actually jump in and join that same training, and then you sort of feel a toughness, laugh, everything. So sort of experiencing together, it's a totally different feelings from the gymnasts and also as a coach.
Welcome to the World Gymnastics Coaches Podcast. It is an honor to bring you a special episode from Tokyo with head coach Japanese Men's Artistic Gymnastics National Team, Professor Hiroaki Sato. Current Olympic champion with the Japanese team in Paris 2024, coach of Kohei Uchimura, and member of the FIG International Education Committee. Stay tuned for an inspiring conversation with interviewer Emilio from the Escuela del Sur. Welcome, gymnastics community.
Welcome to World Gymnastic Coaches, the podcast of artistic gymnastics around the world. We have the pleasure and the honor to have a Mr. Hiroaki Sato from Japan in Tokyo. Hiroaki is a Japanese national coach. And currently, now current Olympic champion in Paris 2024 with the MEC team. And Hiro is the leader of a generation of coaches who have set a milestone in the world of gymnastics about focus and training in gymnasts. He is also a member of the FIG Education, expert who visited Freiburg in the traditional gymnastic congress in Freiburg with Flavio Bessi. He is now already in Tokyo, so giving us this opportunity to Escuela del Sur. How are you doing, coach?
Well, I'm very good. Thank you. And thank you very much for a nice introduction. And my name is Hiroaki Sato. Like you said, I'm current men's artistic gymnastics national head coach of the Japanese team and also the member of the FIG Education Commissions. Towards the end of this year, it's going to be very, very busy because currently I am joining the national training camp here at the National Training Center in Tokyo, but I'm the going really well at this moment, and lots of coach educational courses here in Tokyo. So lots of stuff happening, but just trying to survive in this moment.
Yeah, I can see in social media you travel around Germany, Australia, Japan, so your schedule is very busy.
Yeah, I thought that after the Paris Olympics it's going to be a little bit easier, but it didn't.
For Escuela del Sur, we want to tell you thank you, coach, for your time, for make this little gap in your schedule. You are now in the training center in Tokyo, yes?
Yes.
So we start with the first question. You can approach and explain who you are.
Okay. So, I started gymnastics when I was 5 years old and in Tokyo. And I had continued doing gymnastics as an elite athlete for about 20 years. During that time, I was lucky enough to meet Kohei Uchimura. So basically, we trained together. So we trained in the same high school and in the same gymnastics club for a long time. And this is how we met. And at that time, Kohei wasn't really successful, but we were really good friends, each other. And then after that, I went to a university and I kept doing gymnastics. But I just thought that I wanted to become a coach because I went to some of the international competition as a junior national athlete. But I had some injuries afterwards, and I decided to become a sort of internationally successful coach. That's my coaching journey started. But at that time, I had no idea what to do. So the first thing that just came up my mind was to study English, because in order to, learn something from, expert from different countries, I needed to understand what they say, what their coaching philosophies are. So I decided to study English. And then I went to Australia like more than 10 years ago. And at that time, Naoya Tsukahara, the Olympic gold medalist, went to Australia to train. So I think that was quite good timing for me because one of my role models were Naoya Tsukahara. So he went to Australia. So I just went to Australia with him to study, and I acted as an assistant coach. And that time I learned a lot of things from, you know, beautiful people, of course, the Australian coaches and other international coaches and judges. And that's the beginning, I mean, like origin of my coaching journey. And then after a couple of years time, and I started to live in Australia and then study something, of course, the English and gymnastics coaching are more like a scientific point of view, like FIG Academy and stuff. Then the end of 2016, I had a phone call and Kohei Uchimura rang me all of a sudden. And then he asked me to become his coach. And I said, yes. And then I came back to Japan. I served as a personal coach of Kohei Uchimura and leading up to the Tokyo Olympic Games. And after the Tokyo Olympics, and I stepped up to the national head coach position. So I participated in some of the world championships and the Olympic Games. And then, yeah, thankfully, the results were really, really successful. And one of the most noticeable achievements was the winning the Paris Olympics team gold, individual gold, apparatus final, hyper gold. So that was, I can't be more thankful for that. Yeah, that's the things that I do. And also, I'm really passionate about coach education side of things. And I am a member of the FIG Academy expert and the FIG Education Commission. So yeah, I do enjoy participating in, you know, those educational events. FIG Academy, for example, the reason why I joined that sort of activities is to learn from every single participant. Because I'm not really, I don't really think I know everything. So I just keep learning every day, every single day, that I can enhance my knowledge. And every single coach has different ideas. So in order to share and exchange ideas, and that's the perfect opportunity for me to travel to different countries, learn something from them, and then trying to get sort of good information, then I use those experience or knowledge to the, you know, the performance enhancement in my country. So that's sort of things I do enjoy most. And of course, I enjoy having conversation at this moment, like with you and different coaches, and, you know, just the exchange ideas related to gymnastics, which is quite always, always enjoyable. So thank you so much for having me.
I think this is the treasure about share with people around the world, because you have a difference between other coaches. Probably you travel, you live in another culture, be a coach abroad, your culture in Australia, because also Australia is a very interesting gymnastic culture.
Yeah. It was a whole different experience for me because that I was born in Tokyo, grew up in Tokyo. So sort of, I had the fixed mindset in a way that, you know, the gymnastics coaches should be like this. But when I went to Australia, I think that it changed my perspective in a way. Like, for example, like in Japan, if the coaches say something, the gymnasts follow whatever the coaches say, which is not really good or bad. It's more like a different culture. And the Japanese gymnasts are considered to be very disciplined, you know, patient. And so that's why the coaches got a lot of power traditionally. If coaches say something, and then gymnasts must say yes, that sort of things. So that's the culture I was used to here in Japan. But when I went to Australia, it changed completely, because if I say something, that pretty much all boys and gymnasts ask me why do I have to do this? And that was quite interesting for me. And also I find it quite challenging because I needed to explain the reason why I provide this training program. So it got me thinking like, oh, this is going to be a good experience for me to be able to explain why this training program is effective, things like this. So it's like, yeah, that gave me the great opportunity for me to reconsider what exactly is the coach's sort of a role and what sort of tasks. So, and then that's the starting point that I started to realize how profound and how difficult it is to coach gymnastics, and tried to find answers and appropriate answers towards that questions so that the boys can understand. And so because we are sort of aiming for this level, but currently the level is a little bit below that, so we're going to have to think about physical preparation or stuff like that. So to be able to explain those step-by-step approach, I think that helped me a lot when it comes to understanding how to coach gymnastics. So it's a whole different experience and big adjustments. But without having that experience, I wouldn't be who I am today. So I really appreciate that experience.
So you mix these two great cultures and you put together the technique, the years and years of Japanese culture preparing for excellence, and also the Australians' effervescence of after the Olympics in Sydney. They provide a lot of training centers, high performance training center in Australia, and you find all this with your boys.
Yeah, indeed. It's just incredible because now in Japan, we do have the National Training Center in Tokyo, but only just one training center is considered to be the National Training Center. But in Australia, pretty much, you know, every single state have a high performance training center, which is just incredible.
You have a lot of travels around the world, and you was your first time you travel in Germany. How was that being this International Fiber Congress?
Yeah, that was incredible opportunity and great experience. I couldn't believe that that was the first time that I visited Germany. But the Freiburg was beautiful, and Flavio Bassi, my friend, invited me to participate in this amazing historical event, like the Freiburg International Gymnastics Congress. And I presented a lot of the technical lectures, like floor and the P-bars and high bar kind of things, as well as more daily kind of things, the coaching philosophy, the journey with Uchimura leading up to the Tokyo Olympics. And also, obviously, I talked about the Paris Olympics and how we prepared for the Olympics and stuff like this. The experience itself was just incredible, and nice beer in Germany, and catching up with my old friend Hardy Fink and the FIG Education former president, and that was a great opportunity. If I have to pinpoint just one thing, I would say like hospitality, the University of Freiburg, and including all the volunteer staff and, you know, students, very helpful and accommodating. And also they try to help me when I prepare for the presentations and stuff like this. And just sort of every single tiny moment was very precious.
Great. Great. So we send greetings to our friend Flavio Bessi. Probably he will hear all this episode. And we go to maybe the more important question for me, like a coach, is if you can put in words, how you can explain your coaching philosophy to the listeners?
Really good question. My coaching philosophy is to inspire athletes by demonstrating values. That is my coaching philosophy. Because when I was a gymnast, one of my coaches inspired me in every single aspect of my life. So what I mean by that is he was, of course, a great technician. He's got really good knowledge of gymnastics. But in addition to that, he's more like he showed me how to sort of deal with a lot of challenges in life, and also to have some sort of seeding point, you know, like to be able to speak English is a great seeding point and something sort of strong point that you need to have in order to survive the wilderness of this difficult world. So he showed me those, you know, and he inspired me to follow the similar path. So I want to give a positive impact on the gymnast's life. So that is my philosophy. Not only the results. If anything, the results would be like just a byproduct. So for me, just to give a positive impact on your life. So regardless of the results, that'd be really, really happy. And that is my sort of attitude. Yeah, and because of the gymnastics, I was able to sort of to understand the time management, you know, to have the ability to manage, complete the task on time, you know, stuff like this. A lot of life skills that I learned from gymnastics. So through the educational events or activities, I always emphasize the fact that, you know, gymnastics is a tool to enrich your life. Not the only thing that you need to do. It's more like just one way to enhance your life, to be happy. So I think that is my attitude.
You studied in the university. How was this experience with Kohei when you was there in Tokyo?
First of all, I studied international law when I was in university. So I do have the law degree. Yeah, maybe you surprised it, but not like a physical education focused. It's more like the broad, you know, like I study international law, business law, that kind of things. And it's totally different from gymnastics. But it's, for me, it's really good to understand the different parts of, you know, the world, not only gymnastics. And so now I can think about something from objective point of view. So that's my background. And the second point is like, how was the training with Uchimura? As a gymnast, we were very close friends, I would say. Pretty much the same squad. In the same squad when I was a high school student. So pretty much trained every single day together, went to a competition together, went to the school every day together, stuff like that. But as a coach, personal coach of Kohei, I took a different approach because that to be a close friend doesn't really work as a coach. So I tried to find the appropriate distance from him so that I can say something that I needed to say. And so, let's say when we were high school, the conversation was very casual. I didn't really show respect in the way that the Japanese language would have respectful language, the way to explain the things. It's more like casual words and expression sentences that I convey the message. It's a little bit difficult to explain in English, but once I became a personal coach of Kohei, I changed my sort of the way I express the things, the way I convey words and everything. So I just get appropriate distance from him so that I can, of course, I can transfer my message and then communicate with him. But it's more professional way, I'd say. Yeah, professional manner. So that I can find out good relationship with him. Not too close, but not too far from each other. So it took me a couple of months to find out the appropriate distance with him. After that, it's very professional. Like, of course, we trained every day together. I coached him every day. But at the same time, I tried to find out when to recover from training, when to push a little bit harder, and trying to find out the best training plans and training programs. Sort of always talk to each other to find out ways to be best you can be. So I think that experience was very precious. So I think that sometimes I had to say something negative because I had to look for sort of objective viewpoint that if you think about his performance levels goes down, then I kind of have to say something negative so that we can change that approach. So I think that was the bit hard part. Difficult parts, but as a coach, we need to understand that this is our job.
Yeah. And now when you explain this connection, I remember your coach, the first one you told me, what is the name of this coach who made you fall in love with gymnastics?
Takashi Kobayashi, former FIJ Academy expert and also our high school coach. And he was just amazing technician. And yeah, I think that without him, I don't think I became like a gymnastics coach like I do now.
This episode is brought to you by Sewer Studio, the trusted partner for athletes, coaches, and club owners ready to elevate their online presence. Whether you're an athlete building your personal brand, a coach showcasing your programs, or a club owner promoting your team, Sewer Studio creates sleek, modern websites that tell your story and connect with your audience. From highlighting achievements to engaging fans and recruits, we design websites that are as dynamic as your career. Ready to stand out? Visit surstudio.framer.website and let's bring your vision to life. Remember surstudio.framer.website. Your success deserves a website that matches your ambition. That's Sewer Studio.
So perfect. Hey, coach, I have a question. If I arrive in Tokyo, South American coach, and I find a regional position, what I need to understand about the gymnastic Japanese culture, what type of gymnastics I can find there in Tokyo?
Yeah, we can find a lot of gymnastics, private gymnastics clubs in Tokyo, and lots of kids enjoying doing gymnastics. Recreational level and also the competitive level. And you can also find the high performance level, like gymnastics, because a lot of gymnastics lab have the recreational and then the competitive and high performance as well. So if you think about the high performance level, I think that for me in Japan, the coaches don't really teach how to do that skill specifically. It's more like the coaches will try to teach how to train effectively, efficiently, how to train gymnastics. The first thing that they try to focus on teaching, because in the long run, the children needs to understand their body, and then they need to fix the difficult skills by themselves eventually. But if coaches say every single instructions, everything, you know, a minute detail of the skill, the gymnasts don't really develop the self-correct technique. And so that's the big problem, traditionally. So I think that to be able to ask questions as a coach to the gymnast, and the gymnast needs to answer. It doesn't have to be the correct answer, but try to find out what went wrong, what went right, to be able to sort of analyze skills by themselves. Those abilities are so important in gymnastics. For me, when I witnessed a lot of junior national team members or national team members, they do have a very good understanding of aerial sense, and also to be able to analyze their skills, to be able to explain the reason why it went wrong, it went right. So that sort of self-analysis skills are so important. So that even like if you visit the junior clubs, the gymnasts try to think how to train, how to make it more efficient and stuff like that. Those cultures you can definitely notice. So that's a really good point of the visiting the Japanese gymnastics club.
I have a white paper. Imagine this paper is the gymnast. So you try to make the gymnast write themselves, the feelings, the patterns, the motricity, and for have a basic more strong.
Yes, but we need some certain instruction, of course. Otherwise, the gymnast don't really know how to write, right? But of course, that thinking about the certain instruction, then just trying to navigate the direction. But afterwards, the gymnast can, you know, develop the natural sort of understanding of gymnastics and how to sort of move on to the next step and stuff like that. Give them freedom. That's the very important point.
Freedom, what is the next goals for you like a coach and also your country? Because after being the top, you need to probably remain in the same state, but probably fix all the details for stay in the same level, or no?
Yeah, to get used to the new quota point is the biggest objective for now. And that's why we decided to have a national training camp now. Even though it's the end of the year, everybody wants to have a holiday, but we decided to have the training camp after Christmas until the end of this year. I invited some of the international judges, and they can give us the sort of judges course and coaching course and stuff like that to be able to share the correct information of the gymnasts, all the coaches and the judges, everything. So I think that that's the very important thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, we decide, you know, sort of what sort of routine construction would be beneficial. It'd be, you can save energy and things like that. So it's like, it's quite, it's important to start now instead of just start maybe next year. So just, take a bit. How can I say? It's like, to prepare well, basically. And of course, that the competition wise, the biggest goal for us is the World Championships in October 2025. That's the no team competitions. It's only individual one. So, all round competitions and also the practice final competitions. We sort of now we need to think about how to select the top six gymnasts to send the World Championships. So yeah, it's a very complex because there are so many good gymnasts here in Japan, and we had to pick only six gymnasts, including like a couple of all-rounders, which means that only we can pick three or four specialists. So thinking about the possibility of getting gold medal, stuff like that, we kind of have to pick out some strong events. And so it's very difficult for us to, because we want to pick every single, a practice champion, the All Japan Championships and send the World Championships. If we were able to, send like 10 gymnasts or something, but only six, so it's going to be a big task. So currently we are, having a discussion how to select the domestic selection policy and stuff like that. So it takes a bit long time to finalize it, and not sure how it goes, but we are on the right track. And also we have the university games here in Germany, actually, next year. So the university games is also quite important objective, and to win the team and also individual competitions. So I think these two competitions are a major target for us in 2025. And after that, obviously 2026, the team gold at the World Championships, and afterwards leading up to the MA 2028.
Yeah, this is the next goal. So you have this big map. When you have all this deadline competition, like a national team, I have three questions about this. I think I will start with the first one. If you can explain what for you understand your mind when I say team with your national team in Japan, in MAG.
Sense of togetherness. That's the first thing that came up. Because when I joined the national training camp or like the every single competition with the Japanese team, I feel a sense of togetherness and sense of connection. And in other words, it's like a great teamwork. So I think that teamwork, obviously makes great work. It sounds pretty cliche, but it's real. I think that especially when I look back on the preparation for the Paris 2024 Olympics, I think that the teamwork was just incredible because our goal was the team gold, not the individual gold. So it's like the team gold was the solid our objective. And that's why we were able to sort of commit to our roles. And obviously that everybody wants to participate in the, all-round final. Like everybody is capable of competing at the all-round final. So, but if it happens, we can't really sort of manage the team because that 3-up, 3-count. And also the qualification, we kind of have to decide who's going to compete, who's going to not. So I think that's it's going to be a quite difficult task to do. But because we had the same goal and the same direction that we tried to move forward, the team management-wise, for me, it wasn't really difficult because that everybody is on the same track and, you know, moving towards the same goal, but just a different approach that I need to seek. And so that's the reason why I think that the teamwork or sense of togetherness and connections are so important.
And follow this line of questions. With all your experience, if you can imagine a perfect world when all the gymnastic structure in a country can work, what ideas you can provide us is a great structure. We're thinking about admin work, yes, governmental way, sports facilities, support to coaches, great budget, perfect world. What do you think is the more important points you can advise to the structure sports for support the athletes and coaches?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. It's a very sort of broad question in a way that the structure wise, I think that the popularity is very important. Otherwise, that we don't really, we can't really exist because the a lot of participation in the foundation level, the grassroots level, is so important in order to grow in gymnastics as a whole. So I think that unfortunately the gymnastics is traditionally quite complex and complicated when it comes to the code of points, that people who don't really do gymnastics don't really understand that what the scores, how to evaluate, how to calculate D score, E score, what's the name of the skill, what's the value of the skill. So I think that that sort of nature, it's very difficult to compete against, for instance, football or other very different sports and very popular sports, because that the rule is quite obvious. And so the gymnastics-wise, it's a little bit different. But we do have positive points, which is we have artisticity, you know, we are beautiful in gymnastics. And the beauty of gymnastics is to be able to evaluate whatever you perform the competitions, that you just try to add very small details, and then every single day you sort of practice and then you can achieve whatever the results were, but still you feel a sense of satisfaction because you sort of competed and you just performed whatever you practiced over the last couple of years, or more than 10 years and stuff like that. So that sort of things are quite beautiful things in gymnastics. So we need to sort of tell how awesome it is to do gymnastics. And so that's the thing. So it's like the popularity and the population, and it's so important in the foundation level. And then of course that we need to have the structure and coach educational side of things and admin stuff and the club management kind of thing stuff and code of ethics, how to maintain healthy gymnastics sort of code of points and stuff like that. And then of course that afterwards we need to have the recreation participation and also the high performance and competitive side of things, and sort of narrow down a little bit and then leading up to the top level. So, but we need to understand, of course, we need a lot of money, a lot of funding towards the high performance level. The grassroots level is just as important as high performance level, because without having those foundation, we cannot really survive. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So that's the thing. So, it's still a lot of things to consider, but, like in Japan, we are working on the project, which is to popularize gymnastics. So sometimes that top athletes go to primary school. So for example, to just give some demonstrations and then just to communicate with children. Then the children do understand how beautiful gymnastics is and stuff like that, to be able to look up to, you know, the Olympic champions and Olympic champion just in front of you, and they're taking pictures and stuff, just to do those small activities. But it all adds up, it's going to be a big impact on the gymnastics community. So we do need both sides, and high performance and also the grassroots level.
Yeah, and the connection in the middle, because it's how the coaches, you explained this about learning, the opportunity for coaches in the structure for learn, and also for other coaches to share, because you say in your team, belong to a place when everyone share, create only positive impact to everyone. Parents, coaches, gymnasts, also sponsors, also organizations. And now my question is, if you can choose a gymnastic culture you like and you look like is very nice in these points you mentioned.
That's a very interesting question. I've never really think about that. I think that the culture-wise, I don't think it's a good culture or bad culture. It's just different. That's why I really like traveling to different countries to experience, witness different culture. So I don't really pinpoint which country is better or bad. I think that it's like more just different, understand a different perspective, different educational system, like school, lifestyle, and things like this. So yeah, but depending on your personality, depending on your coaching philosophy, obviously you need to have a perfect fit in terms of the culture wise and or your coaching philosophy wise. But yeah, for me, it's like combination of sort of good points like Japan's, like the discipline or patient, those perspective, and also like for instance, Australians, the more easygoing approach and just value spending time with their family, or maybe other Western countries more like, you know, the different side of things, and Asian countries more very focused and stuff like that. And so it's just different, but mixed in a good part. I think that's for me something that I'm really interested in knowing. Yeah.
Yeah, you never traveled to South America.
South America, no, actually not. I went to South Africa, but I'm not South America.
South Africa, yes.
Johannesburg.
Joburg.
Yeah, Joburg. Yeah.
So probably in the future, if you travel here in South America, will be a great milestone, because here you have a lot of also great gymnastic culture, and can be great also for the South American coaches learn from you.
All right. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah.
Our vision is
future. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Coach, you have the approach and support of a psychologist or a physiotherapist. That how you can see this every day in your gymnast, this word medical sports or sports medicine.
Yeah, I think that's in order to maintain the high performance level, I think that it is absolute necessity, for instance, to be able to understand how to recover from fatigue and how to recover from training and then just get ready for next day's training, things like that. There are so many different methods to utilize, like hot bath, cold bath, sauna, and cryotherapy, physio massage, and there are so many different options. But now here in Tokyo, the National Training Center, we have hot bath, cold bath, sauna type of things, a bit traditional, but everybody understands the needs. And also all of the gymnasts understand that how effective it is to feel fresh, feel recover, and then get ready for the next day. So we went to a sauna yesterday. I had a chat with some of the gymnasts, and they really enjoyed the hot bath, cold bath, and also I use that time as the communication tool. I mean, like in sauna, we can have a chat, maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes time length that we can have just natural conversation without gymnastics, just to have a light, you know, have a discussion about life or some other stuff, hobby. I think I do value those opportunities and moments to have a good connection with the athletes. So sauna, for me, it's not only the physical recovery tool, it's more like a mental recovery, emotional recovery opportunity. So I just try to intentionally go to sauna so that I can meet other gymnasts and certain stuff like that. As a coach, I do that. And also, outside of sauna, those recovery center, we use the sort of physio massage, and sometimes we need medical examination. We go to a X-ray center or something like that. All those facilities just next to the National Training Center in Tokyo. So it's like we do have a big complex, National Training Center, and then just next building is the Japan Sports Science Institute. So that has the medical clinic and the X-ray center and MRI center and all those medical facilities in there, and the medical institute, so they can do research and stuff like that, the medical things and physical testing and, you know, stuff like that. So those two buildings just standing next to each other is fantastic. Yeah.
Or easy for also the athletes. They don't need to cross the city to visit other place.
Yeah, we can save time, and also we can have, you know, make an appointment quite easily, and it's quite accessible. Yeah, that's very convenient for us.
Coach, if I can imagine your way how you coach, you are doing the warm up, and your athletes start to doing the stretching. You mentioned in the sauna, you have time to talk with them, because we can talk a lot about the technical things. Coaches, they will join this podcast to hear you about how to teach this in the high bar, how to do this. But now I want to ask you about more this empathy, this part. Not all the coaches talk about it, but it's more about how you connect with your gymnast. You are doing your stretching, and imagine my mind. And you talk with your gymnast and you have this time for connect with him. I think this is what you mentioned in Freiburg about the training center athletes in Sydney and also in South Africa. You can share this, how you see this gymnastics way?
Yeah, so obviously that the athlete is the one that they train in a gymnastics training situation. But as a coach, I was looking for the opportunity to connect with athletes. So I found that if I do a warm up together, or if I do a strength conditioning, sometimes together, so we can show a different side of your sort of expression. I'd say it's like just the coach is standing, just watching your training, or your coach actually jump in and join that same training, and then you sort of feel a toughness, you know, laugh, everything. So sort of experiencing together, it's a totally different feelings from the gymnasts and also as a coach. So we can have a more meaningful, deep conversation during the training time. Of course, sometimes we're going to have to stand and just stay calm, like in a competition standard. But sometimes I try to find out the appropriate timing to jump in and join the training together. And even like in Japan, I did the stick comp with the gymnasts and a few times, and everybody sort of surprised, oh, you are still doing this, you still got this and stuff like that. Just to have a natural conversation with the gymnast. I think that, and also sometimes as a coach, I often forget about how tough this training program is, how difficult it is to complete this task. But if I do that, I feel, it's very, very difficult, actually. So I need to be demanding sometimes in order to enhance the performance. But sometimes I need to be very kind, you know, I need to understand, because they're human, they feel exhausted. So I need to understand the both sides of sort of the gymnastics. So I think that's why I often join the training and also the warm up and cool down and stuff like that. And so that we can connect with each other. I use that sort of technique if I travel to other countries to lead the training camp or training courses. And I think every single time that I do that, I have more deep conversation with the gymnasts and coaches, and they can connect, we can connect each other, which is amazing feeling, because the gymnastics can connect us. And after that, after the visit, and we can still connect to each other by, you know, using social media, Instagram, Facebook and stuff like that, we can still have a very strong connection. And so that's why I cannot stop doing those activities.
So yeah, looking for also the human side of your athletes is probably one of the more strongest message I get from you. Mm-hmm. So I think the people who hear this podcast can understand. Sometimes we focus a lot of on the technical things, but mm-hmm. When we don't see the other side of the gymnast or the athlete in any sport, we lose a big part of the scheme.
This episode is brought to you by FB Curves 3D Gym. FB Curves offers state-of-the-art 3D simulations to help coaches, judges, and gymnasts study the new code of points 2025 to 2028 and redefine gymnastics techniques. Explore the FB Curves, WAG, MAG, and trampoline apps with realistic tools to visualize your gymnastics. Find all the information at fbcurves.com. And from Freiburg, Germany, eGymnastics is a platform that provides digital tools to learn about training, e-learn gymnastics, and connect with the gymnastics community. Visit egymnastics.eu and discover the future of gymnastics.
Coach, I want to ask you about, imagine this gymnast is, I don't know, in outside the city, in Buenos Aires, or Brazil, or Colombia, training very hard, and have the opportunity to meet you, this young gymnast, can be a girl or a boy. And what you can say to them from your experience, from your knowledge, what is the advice you can give them for focusing on their goals, not only for gymnastics, but also for enjoy this sport and have happiness in this sport?
I think that ultimately we want to pursue happiness through gymnastics. So the best advice I can give to them would be to enjoy doing gymnastics. So that's the most important thing. Of course, sometimes the training's quite hard. You need to go through the very tiring physical preparation exercises and so on. But because if you love gymnastics, you can definitely get through this. So the message that I can convey is to enjoy doing gymnastics, love the sport. If you love the sport, you can definitely get over difficult tasks, challenging times, and sometimes you will be disappointed by the results or, you know, the performance sometimes, but you can definitely overcome those obstacles as long as you love gymnastics and continue until you achieve your personal goal. It doesn't have to be perfect. So you don't need to pursue perfection. You can pursue excellence. So that's one of my favorite coaches. I mean, the gymnast, Kyle Schufelt, said that in his podcast. And I quoted him. What he said was like, pursue excellence instead of perfection. So I strongly believe that the same philosophy that, what he said resonates with me. And so, because every single gymnast has their own gymnastics, so nobody is the same. So it's like you just need to pursue your gymnastics and you can achieve your excellence. So I think that enjoy gymnastics, try to pursue your gymnastics. At the end of the day, you will feel satisfied. And of course, you can find the different goal if you retire from gymnastics. So I think that's the message that I can give to them. And also you need to find that someone who you can look up to, like your role models or even like your family. It doesn't really matter, but someone you can look up to and you can respect, which is very, very powerful. And you can sort of, it gives you extra motivation to work hard and in order to get closer to that level. So these two things I really, really emphasize. Yeah.
And looking for the other side of the coaches, it is a community, have a lot to do, a lot of tasks, a lot of duties, a lot of effort. I can see from your side also traveling around, having a family, try to pursue your dreams. And you have a lot of other coaches around the world with different nationality, different situation, stress and different salaries. Also, we need to talk about that. But it's not all about that. It's also about the motivation, why you are doing this, why you are a gymnastic coach. So what is your advice for all these coaches who hear you now and what you can provide to them from your experience?
Looking back on my journey as a gymnastics coach, especially for the last 8 years working with the Japanese Federation, it's like, yeah, every time I feel I competed, I mean, like I joined the international competitions, I feel a sense of community, you know, like different coaches, different countries and coaches and FIG people talk to me in different occasions. And I really appreciate that sort of strong connection. So to make friends through gymnastics, I think that's one of the most beautiful part of gymnastics. So I want you to focus not only the technical side, delivering a good result, but also you need to look at there's a different side of gymnastics, like having good connection with other coaches and beautiful support and they have to appreciate that they're making new friends and stuff like that. If you think about that perspective, you can have more open-minded. You can be more open-minded so that you don't need to narrow down your possibilities. And also, you can ask any questions if you don't know. Don't hesitate to ask the question, because there is an expectation that the national head coach needs to know everything. But I don't. I don't know everything. Like I need to ask certain sort of fields that I don't know. I don't have any expertise on this. So I just need to ask some medical field and nutritional field and stuff like that, just to ask the questions and invite professionals and they can give us some good advice. And it is also related to the connection. You know, if you have a good friends and who work in the medical industry, you can just invite him and have a good strong connection, have workshop and stuff like that. So it all comes down to the trust, communication. And so that is my coaching philosophy also related to that. And so if I can give the advice to the young coaches, then just don't hesitate to ask questions and also to value the connection with other people. Respect other people. And finally, I would say, take care of yourself. That's the very, very important things, because the gymnastics coaches are so working hard, you know, like pretty much 24/7 you think about gymnastics. And especially if you go to international competitions, like you don't have any day off, you know, you kind of have to go like 1 month time period. You just constantly have the training day, even on the day off and train, no training, you kind of have to do a lot of management stuff and, you know, thinking about the starting order, you know, how to manage the training next days and stuff like that. So constantly you use your brain and to create a training program to be better every day. But sometimes it's very important to take a step back and just to relax, you know, just to re-energize yourself and just to, yeah, recover. I think that's actually the most important thing as a gymnastics coach, because if you get sick, you can't really coach gymnastics and face-to-face situation. So look after yourself. And sometimes I'm not really good at that. And the perspective, I just kept doing it until I sort of collapsed. So I think that's something that I need to fix on. But yeah, the experience that I had, that was like after Tokyo Olympics, and straight after the Tokyo Olympics, I had to participate in the World Championships, because that the Olympics and World Championships happened in the same year, that 2021. So that was like constantly just going up and up and up. Even after the Olympics, I couldn't really relax and just keep going. And then after that, I think that was the on the day Just after the podium training at the World Championships in Kitakyushu, I had a very strong headache, and I was diagnosed with like a singles, like just all over the body, like there was rashes, and it was incredibly painful, and then I couldn't really move for the next couple of days. But I managed to be able to get up and just act as a coach. That was a not good experience, but looking back, I think that we need to look after my body mentally, physically, emotionally. Sometimes you need to spend time with your family because, you know, the family can support you and stuff like that. You appreciate how important it is. So work-life balance and so on. So, yeah, I think that's a lot of things that you need to think about. But as a gymnastics coach, ultimately you want to be happy. So that's the main goal. So in order to achieve that, definitely we need to look after ourselves.
We cannot provide what we don't have. So True. We need to reach ourselves, our mental health, our physical health to provide to our athletes.
Exactly. I think that a good quote from the Luke Kirsten, the Irish national coach and the personal coach of Liz McLennigan. And he said that happy gymnasts perform better. Happy coach coaches better. I really like that. Was really nice.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Coach, now here, all your experience, because also we don't think about your role and your position or your achievement. Also, we look at the human side of what is your next challenge, your next goal?
Yeah, so working in Japanese Federation for the last 8 years, I think it's good timing to do something different. I mean, like move on to the next chapter of my life. So I decided to go to Sydney next year and working at the Gymnastics New South Wales High Performance Centre as a head coach. I think that's, like I said before, my coaching journey started in Australia. So I just wanted to reciprocate. And yeah, also I just want to share my knowledge and experience. And after gaining amazing, invaluable experience here in Japan, and now it's time to sort of do something to Australia with the Australian gymnastics community. And especially like the Brisbane 2032 Olympic Games approach, and it's going to be very exciting timing. But I don't really expect that I can sort of stay forever. It's more like just to value every single day, every single moment. I need to commit completely and then see what happens afterwards. So I just need to stay committed to coaching gymnastics, but also I value the family, and also I value the, you know, work-life balance. So like I acted as a national head coach in Japan. I was away from family for 7.5 months in total last year. 7.5 months away from family, that was quite significant. But when we think about the work-life balance, I think that it's going to be a good decision for me to move to Australia, spend more time with family, and also commit to gymnastics coaching. And of course, it's a new challenge, and it's going to be a big adjustment. So I'm not sure how it turned out, but I do my best, and I don't have any regrets, you know, like, I usually make a decision. I trust my instinct, and also, yeah, rely on my instincts and, my gut feelings, you know, sometimes. And then if something goes wrong, we can definitely step back and think about that. But, you know, only once in a lifetime experience. So why not we try? And that's the mindset I have. And also, I really appreciate that, the Gymnastics New South Wales gave me the opportunity. And I can't be more thankful for that. So yeah, I'm very excited. And also I'm looking forward to seeing how far I can go.
Perfect. Are we looking for this next year in Australia? How is going this new chapter of your life? Ping Pong, what book you advise to read? Your favorite book?
My favorite book is always like gymnastics techniques and stuff
Got
like that.
a
Yeah, Cut Off Boy, 2025 to 2028. We need to learn a lot of things.
So this is the definition of excellence code. How you arrived there was not lucky. From my side, like a young coach, I want to tell you thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your experience, for sure, with all your answers. I hope all the listeners can enjoy your presence, this little chat we have. We make all this with a lot of love for gymnastics with the World Gymnastic Coaches podcast with Escuela del Sur. So I hope it's useful. I hope it can work for a lot of people. And yeah, this was the idea all the time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today. And I enjoyed a lot in this conversation. And it was a great opportunity for me to kind of look back on what I did over the last 8 years and the coaching philosophy, the coaching journey, and things like that. So, yeah, I just want to express my gratitude to you. And I really appreciate that, your time as well. And that huge gap between Japan and your country, the
Like
time
hours.
difference is 12 hours and
Like hours.
nighttime and then morning. And but it worked out
Yeah,
perfectly,
it
you
worked out
know.
perfectly. You are now 27th December and I am in 26th December. This was the
That's
first time
right.
you made that.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, it turned out really well. And thank you for your commitment and to produce the amazing podcast, and I listen to your podcast quite a lot. And yeah, I hope you have a happy holidays, and wish you all the best in next year.
Me too. So, okay, that's it. You have this podcast in LinkedIn, in Instagram, and also in YouTube when you can see our faces this moment when we talk. And also, you can find this podcast in Podigy and World Gymnastic Coaches with the link. Thank you so much, Coach. Bye bye.
All right, see you next time. Bye-bye. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to World Gymnastics Coaches. Don't forget to follow us on all our platforms, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn like Escuela del Sur. And remember, you can find all our episodes at www.coachemilio.com. Thank you, gymnastics community. See you next time. Vamos arriba.